want to open our service this evening by joining together singing the hymn 265. 265. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned. The hymn writer says, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love to me. 265, we stand this time as we open our service this evening. Evening for the gospel mission. We thank you, Lord, again that we're found here, the living, to praise thee. And we thank thee, Lord, for thy precious word that has gone forth already at the commencement of this gospel mission here in the high school in Ballymoney. Lord, we thank thee tonight for the word of God. We thank thee for the gospel of Christ. We thank thee, Lord, for that good news that brings men and women from darkness unto light and from the power of sin and Satan unto God. We thank thee tonight, Lord, that the Bible says the gospel of Christ is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And our Father, we pray that thou wouldst bless this service this evening. We thank thee, Lord, we can come to thee. We thank thee, O God, we can seek thy face in prayer. For thou hast bidden us to come boldly to the throne of heavenly grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. And we ask thee, O God, tonight as we have this gospel service, we realize, O God, that it is a needy time. We need thy presence. We need the outpouring of thy Spirit. We need thee, Lord, to move and work amongst us. And we ask thee, Lord, to come by thy mighty Holy Spirit's power. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless everything that would be said and done. Bless us, Lord, as we sing these lovely gospel hymns together. We have even ministry and song. Thy servant would bring a word of personal testimony to God's saving grace and to God's keeping power. And again, Lord, most of all, when thy servant comes to open up the word of truth, Lord, we thank thee for the precious word of God. We thank thee tonight for the Bible, the word of God. And we pray that as thy servant would come to minister from thy word, that he might know afresh the anointing of the Spirit of God. Oh, our Father, we pray that thou wouldst lead him and guide him and bless him and bless your word as it goes forth. We thank thee tonight that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We ask thee, Lord, that you will bless your word in the mission tonight. We think, Lord, of similar gatherings tonight in halls, schools, and tents even, and gospel campaigns. We think of those missions that are taking place at this very present time. And we ask you, Lord, that you'll bless here in Ballymoney and every other place as the word of God is faithfully preached. O God, we pray that men and women, and young people and boys and girls may come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank thee that we can remember the words of the prophet when he said, all we like sheep had gone astray, and we had turned every one to our own way, but the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And Father, we thank thee tonight that we have been singing, he took my sins and my sorrows, and he made them his very own, and he bore the burden to Calvary, and he suffered and bled and died alone. We thank thee that he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. We thank thee, Lord, that he could cry, it is finished. The salvation's work was accomplished. And our Father, we pray tonight that you'll bless in the preaching of thy word, and that some dear man or woman, boy or girl or young person may come as a sinner to Jesus, for thou hast said, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So, Lord, be with us now as we wait on in thy presence. Pour out thy Spirit upon us, and do us good, for we ask all these things in the Saviour's name, and for God's eternal glory. Amen. And once again this evening, we'd like to give you a very warm word of welcome to the gospel mission. It's really good to see you. We thank you for coming, and we trust that the Lord will richly bless us as we're met together here in the Lord's house. I was thinking last night of a verse of scripture that Reverend Park quoted, and he mentioned the words of the Lord Jesus when he said, what would it profit a man if he would gain the whole world and then he would lose his own soul? Listen to the words of this gospel hymn.
If all the wealth of this world you control, holding the riches of silver and gold, And you should somehow win this world's applause. What could happen when you leave it all? What will you answer and this final call? What would it happen? For luxury or fame, what would it profit if this world you choose? If at the judgment your soul you should lose.
Service, we're going to ask your brother, Mr. Ivor Hewitt, to come and bring to us a word of personal testimony.
I was just thinking earlier on this afternoon, it's actually 41 years past this September since I started here. That's just a wee lifetime, and I start thinking, young. No, I was telling my girls, I'm still young, you know, I started, you're over 50. It's 36 years past in May since I left the school. And you know, some great memories of the school here. You know, we used to stand, the boys in the assemblies, every morning we had an assembly, the boys stood on this side, the girls stood on this side. And when I was here, Rex Patterson was the headmaster, he was standing there. Margaret Carey would play the piano and she'd try and get us to sing. And there's a couple of hymns that came to mind today we used to sing, Morning Has Broken. That was, and some of the boys remember that. And there's another one for teaching what it meaneth. That's a real good hymn, but it was to a completely different tune. And I haven't sang that hymn to that tune since the day I left here. So if Margaret maybe could pump up that tune sometime, we could maybe sing it. But, you know, school days are good days. I had many a good day here, many a terrible day as well. But Margaret said in her testimony last night that whenever she went to Cambridge House, she was befriended by a teacher. Took an interest in her and saw a talent and helped her through it, but I can say I wasn't befriended by the teacher. So there wasn't a talent anywhere. But no, we enjoyed our time here. We made many good friends. And school days were impressionable days. And the friends we made here were stellar friends. And there's some people you come across, if you never meet them again, well, that's long enough. But generally speaking, some of the people you meet at school and are friendly with at school, you still talk about them. But the only verse of scripture I want to read here is in Titus chapter 3, verse 5. It says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Not by works of righteousness. It says in Isaiah 64 and 6, all our righteousness is as filthy rags. Romans 3 and 10 says, there is none righteous, no not one. And that includes me. I have the privilege, as a lot of people have here, of being born into a Christian home. And if you have been born into a Christian home, you continue to thank the Lord for that. For that's one of the greatest privileges that any young person has. It's the best start in life. I was brought into a home where my parents were both saved, both loved the Lord, and I was taught from an early age that I was a sinner, that I was born in sin, and I was taught that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if ever I wanted to get to heaven, I had to get that sin problem dealt with in my life. And it's no different today than it was 52 years ago. If you're in a meeting tonight and you're not saved, you were born in sin. The Bible tells us that. And if you ever want to get to heaven, you need that sin problem dealt with. And there's only one way, and Jesus is the only way. And you know, we were took along regularly to gospel meetings and different church services. At that time, we were going to the Free Church. And with the influence, God influence at home, I realized at an early age I needed Jesus to be saved. I realized that I had to come and put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, whenever I was 9 years of age, I can remember it to this very day, up in the old farmhouse out of home, I knelt in my bed and my mother led me to the Lord. That was a blessed time. I was just innocent, childlike faith, a boy of 9 years of age. And you know, it's easy to be a Christian whenever you're in primary school and whenever you're young, and that different thing, whenever you come in here, whenever I come in here, there was an innocent wee boy from Kilrath coming in, and I went to Kilrath Primary, and there was only seven, P7, and you come in here, and the place is so vast, and you meet boys that are a lot cuter than you, and you have to grow up very quick, and stand up for yourself. But you know, the problem being, I went cold that hard. There's so many in their testimony. It's easy enough at primary school, but whenever you come to high school or secondary school, as it was then, that was a lot tougher. I didn't take the stand, and that was the problem. If you'd have seen me on a Sunday, I still was dressed up, I still carried my Bible. To look at me, I was a Christian. To look at me, I was just going through. People would have thought, oh, he's a good wee fella, that's a good fella there, but I stopped reading the Bible, I stopped praying. To look at me, I was fine, I was just going through the motions. And there's young people here tonight, and how is it with you? I would love to urge you that whenever you come to high school or university, take a stand for the Lord, because I didn't start smoking, I didn't start drinking, I didn't want any drugs, because at that time there was less drugs, maybe about it, or we didn't know about it. But I didn't get deep into the things of the Word, but I went cold at heart, and things of God just took second place in my life. At school here, the only thing that I really did enjoy was sport, played football, and spent my time up in the sports hall this side here. And as time went on, I just went through the motions, and that was the wrong thing to do. And you know, whenever I was 17, I left school, left here in May of 1982, and I was 17 the 1st November of that year. I had three driving lessons. I broke my leg playing football, so after Christmas I had three more. And the 7th of March I passed my driving test. And on the 17th of March, I was going to the Tech in Ballymoney at that particular time. And I left my mum to a prayer meeting over in Craig Templeton Hall. And instead of me going into the prayer meeting, I went and I picked up two boys I was at Tech with for me at that time. So we headed out around in the car. I come down the Sligan Road, or the Rebellion Road, just at the Sligan corner there. I was going past it the other day, and it's still a bad bend. So I was flat out, and I hadn't a clue where I was going. The first time I'd been on the road, the car caught the hedge and over and hit a tree stump. And the fellow was sitting beside me. He went out through the windscreen. I was sitting, I was trapped in the car, I was under it. And that was only by the Lord's mercy that I wasn't killed that night. You know, the Lord really spoke to me that night. The silence was actually deafening, because there I was dark. There was the sound, the car crashing, and then there was a split silence. I knew it was fine. I was hurt, but straight away I thought, the Lord's been good to me here, because he's not finished with me yet. And you know, a couple of, maybe 3 weeks after that, by that stage we were going to the Free Church now in Ballymoney, and a couple of three Friday nights after that, at the Youth Fellowship, I don't remember what was being preached, but I came home that night and the Lord was really convicting me, and I knew that I had to get back to living for him. And I came to a place where I surrendered my life and says, Lord, whatever you have for me to do, I'll do it. And I prayed that the Lord would come back into my life and he would lead me on. And you know, the Lord has blessed. I let the Lord down many times, still let him down, because we're only human. We're only sinners saved by grace. And the only time we'll not let him down is ever we're in heaven worshiping him. And the Lord has been really good to me. He's given me a good Christian wife and two Christian daughters, and as Christian son-in-law, And you know, he's been really, really good. A wee grandchild who has a rat on his wee finger, and he's only two. But you know, before I sit down, and when I take up any more time, there's a verse, there's a hymn that I really, really love. And it's John Newton's hymn, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. And you know, that hymn, the first verse of that hymn is, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And that speaks of saving grace in our life. And there's only one person that can save us, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the one that went to the cross, he shed his blood, he died for us. The third verse of that hymn says, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. It's grace that brought us safe this far, and grace will lead us home. You know, if your excuse tonight, I can't get saved because I won't keep it, you're right. You won't, because it's the Saviour that does the keeping. And it's only by his grace that we are saved through faith. You know, the last verse of that hymn, it says, when we've been there 10,000 years, by singing as the sun, we have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. And you know, for the child of God who dies in Christ and goes to heaven, you know, 10,000 years is just like the first day. And our small, tiny, minute minds cannot take in the vastness of eternity. You know, eternity goes on and on and on and on. And it's amazing that whenever we're in heaven and we're praising God, that'll be forever and ever and ever. But you know, the sad reality of that is, if we die in our sin, if you're in the meeting tonight and you're a sinner, if you've never come and trusted and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you die in your sin, the Bible says that will be lost in a priceless hell. And tonight, that would be a tragedy if you died in your sin and you went to hell. Because whenever you'll be there 10,000 years, which it speaks about here in this hymn, that will just be like the first day, because eternity will go on and on and on forever and ever. And it would be an awful thing if you sat through this meeting tonight and the Lord's presence here and still went to a priceless hell, because the Bible tells us that you'll remember everything that was said in this place. You'll remember the opportunity you got. You'll remember what was preached. And it would be a tragedy if you were in this meeting tonight and you went to a priceless hell. You know, that's why these meetings are convened. That's why this mission has come to the high school. That's an opportunity to preach the gospel, to bring the message of salvation, the good news of the gospel to the people of the area. And we trust that before this meeting and before this mission comes to a close, that you will come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Don't have many announcements to make, but we'll do that. We want to welcome you to the mission tonight. It's a great encouragement to see so many gathered, and so many again in the prayer meeting beforehand, as we have been laying hold upon the Lord. We want to remind you that the mission continues this week, and each night through the week, Monday to Friday, it's at 8 o'clock. The meetings are being broadcast. It's being done live on Facebook, and then upload it onto sermon audio. And we know that there are those that are listening in from various parts, even further afield than the United Kingdom, in different parts of the world. And if you're listening in tonight, we want to bid you a very warm welcome. Don't lift any offerings. There's a basket at the door if you want to help with the expenses of the mission. And tomorrow night, Tommy McConaughey will be giving a personal word of testimony. He would appreciate you remembering him in prayer. The only other announcement I've been asked to make is that the choir that are singing on Thursday night, that is the past pupils men's choir, there's a practice for you tomorrow night after the mission is over. Thank you.
We're going to join together and sing another hymn. Another place is hymn 230. Hymn number 230. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. The desert telling fast that the die will soon be cast, and the fatal eye will pass. 230, we stand together as we sing this hymn of praise.
Our strength is failing.
Welcome Greenfield, we thank you in the Saviour's name for helping out at the mission. Appreciate you coming again tonight. And your dear wife is with you also. And I didn't even know she was in the meeting last night, or I would have given her a very warm and hearty welcome. Well, thank you, brother, for your encouragements and for your singing tonight. It's been a blessing. My heart has been strangely warmed in these days, and going back to the summertime, thinking of the mission, as I've shared with you, the Lord directed my attention to the book of Job that I was reading through, and messages I believe God wants me to bring at this mission. So we're turning to the 7th chapter of the book of Job. Follow the word of God with me. If you were here on the first day, on the Lord's Day afternoon, we were thinking about what Job had to say in the opening chapter, just there at the end in verse 21. And we were thinking about leaving this life the way that we entered, and that is with nothing. Job says, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither." We leave with nothing. And then last night we were thinking about things that you do bring with you into eternity, including your precious immortal soul. Now for the next 3 nights I want to deal with the brevity of life. I'm going to read a little bit about it here and look at some other verses in the book of Job. And then tomorrow night I want to deal with the certainty of death. And then Thursday night, the reality of eternity. So these are solemn meetings and solemn subjects. But I believe the Lord has given his word. Let's read from the opening verse of Job chapter 7. "Is there not an appointed time to man upon the earth? Are not his days also like the days of an harrier? As a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as an harrier looketh for the reward of his work, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise, and the night be gone? And I am full of tossings to and fro under the dawning of the day. My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is wind. Mine eye shall no more see good. The eye of him that hath seen me shall see me no more. Thine eyes are upon me, and I am not. As the cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. He shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him anymore." We'll end the reading at the 10th verse. Let's join together in prayer. Let's bow briefly in the presence of God. Father, we thank thee for that warming of our hearts when the Saviour is near. Returning the road to Emmaus knew something of this when their heart burned within them as the Saviour talked with them by the way. And Lord, you've been present in the mission. You've been speaking to us, communing with the people who've gathered. And our hearts have been strangely warmed. Draw graciously near your word and speak to our hearts afresh. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon this mission tonight. Bless the testimony that we've heard, the singing that has been rendered tonight. Oh Lord, we praise thee that God has been glorified in these things. And now in the preached word, I need your help. I am weak. Without thee I can do nothing. But Lord, we look away from ourselves and we look to the Lord tonight for strength, not only physically, but spiritually and mentally. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I think it's very difficult to fathom the depths into which the patriarch Job descended, to understand the immensity of his losses and the weightiness of his crosses, Perhaps it is true to say that no mortal man has ever suffered so much as this Old Testament godly saint. Who can rightly comprehend the intensity of the trial, or interpret the dark providence that overtook him in one awful dark day in his experience, when he lost his business and he lost his family, and then a little bit later he lost his wife, or the support of his wife, and he lost his health, and he lost the comfort of his friends, who turned out to be comfortless people. And so deep and dark were the trials that befell him, he longed for death. He wished that he had never been born alive. Here are the first words that he spoke after 7 days of complete silence, when he and his friends sat together and all they did for 7 days and seven nights were to weep together. Here's the first words recorded in chapter 3, the opening verses. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed his day, and Job spake and said, "Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived." And you want to mark well in chapter 6 when he speaks again in verse 2, "Oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed, and my calamity laid in the balances together, for now it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. Therefore my words are swallowed up." And run your eye down to verses 8 and 9. "Oh, that I might have my request, that God would grant me the thing that I long for, even that it would please God to destroy me, that he would let loose his hand and cut me off." And these expressions show us something of the darkness that descended upon the life of this man. Probably only those that have been in similar darkness can fully appreciate and understand what this man is going through. To lose a business is an awful loss to sustain, and there are those here tonight and you've been in that darkness. To lose family is a great loss also, even one member, and here's a man that lost all of his family, all of his children, 10 of them, in one awful day that overtook him. Many of you know that we had the opportunity to go on outreach to the land of Romania. We visited the poor. We have befriended the gypsy community over these number of years. And there's one family down there in Moldovanoa that was struck with intense grief just last year. We got to know a young woman, she's only in her mid-20s, called Maria. Maria is a professing Christian. But last year, her mother and her father, her brother and sister decided to come and visit, and they hired a driver, but something tragic happened on the way. The car veered off the road and went into the river Danube, and all of those lives except the driver were lost. And what made it exceedingly more sad was the fact that the bodies were not found for a week. Two of them were found on the Romanian side of the river Danube and the other two on the Serbian side. But Maria was plunged into immense grief, and she's still in the dark valley. We were able to visit her during the summertime and sympathise with her, but she's in a dark place, and it's an awful thing when you lose your family members. And it's an awful thing to lose your health. And here's a man, and he's lost all these things, his business, his family, and his health. Or to have friends and family who are of little support. This is what this man experienced. Because we need comforters in the darkest days of our life, and Job didn't have that. Now, it's a man like this who was brought to understand his mortality, perhaps more than any other. When you are in the depths, when you've lost everything that you have, when you're broken in health, when you wish for death, probably more than any other time, you realize the journey of life is exceeding short. And the reality of death is approaching. Now sadly, when men are in health and strength and prosperity, they rarely think about such things. But they travel on merrily in life's journey without thought of the inevitable. They must die. Or more importantly, they must go into eternity and meet God.
So when life is good and prosperous and enjoyable and all is well, most men fail to consider these matters of infinite worth. Their soul, eternity, God Himself, and why they stand in relationship to this infinite God. The hymn writer penned those words of challenge that we sang tonight. Life at best is very brief. Like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheep in time. Fleeting days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast and the fatal line be passed. And the exhortation throughout that hymn, be in time. I want to think about the brevity of life tonight. And I want to exhort you to be in time, in the light of the fact that life is brief. Job, in his speeches, he draws attention to the brevity of life. And he does this under a number of metaphors or pictures. These are picture lessons. And I want to look at some of these descriptions with you. And I want to make some kind of application. What is God saying as he points out over and over and over again in this book concerning the brevity of life? What is he teaching us tonight? I believe there are vital lessons. And I'm just going to go down these very, very briefly, give some emphasis to this subject, and then bring a challenge at the end. First of all, as you look at verse 6 of this passage that we've read this evening, he describes our life like a weaver's shuttle. My days, says Job, are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. Few things would furnish a more striking emblem of rapidity than the speed with which a weaver throws his shuttle from one side of the web of the loom to the other side. A few more shoots of the shuttle and it'll all be over, and our life will be cut off. Our fleeting moments of life will have ended. This one life, and with only one life, and it will soon be passed. We are therefore to live as if we were soon to see the rapid shuttle flying for the last time. And Job, in the midst of his trial, in the midst of feeling and sensing within his own body and his own soul and mind this terrible disease that had overtaken his body, he says, my life is just like the weaver shuttle. Passed so quickly. You'll notice in verse 7, he describes it as the wind. Oh, remember that my life is wind. And the picture teaches us that life is frail, it is soon passed. As the breeze blows upon us and soon passes by, that's what our life is like. Life might be noisy and blustery like the wind, but it's vain and empty. And soon over. Life might even be stormy and filled with danger and with difficulty. It was certainly for this man. We've all felt the wind blowing upon us and passing by so quickly. No sooner has it come, but it's gone. And there's a lesson to learn. God wants us to know that our life is just like the wind, the brevity of life. Then if you turn to the 9th chapter in Mark verse 25, he describes life as a post. Now my days are swifter than a post. The expression here, this word of post, is a reference particularly to a runner. These were light-footed messengers or couriers who carried messages from place to place. And often it is applied to those who carried royal commands in ancient times. They did it with great speed. The term was also applied to mounted couriers of the Persians who carried royal edicts to distant provinces. You read the book of Esther, and these three times it speaks about such, the post, or these mounted couriers of the Persians. And then we have the bodyguard and the royal messengers of Saul and David described also under such terms. Now the common way of travelling in the East, the way back in the days of this man, was exceedingly slow. The caravans moved little more than 2 miles an hour. Couriers, however, who travelled on horses or on foot, they did so with great rapidity. The messengers in Barbary who carry dispatches, it is said, will run 150 miles in 24 hours. We spoke about those who are trying to keep a healthy body and they go out running. I don't think any of them run 150 miles. We read of others that were able to run incredible distances in a very short period of time with seeming ease. And this is the picture again that is set before us. The meaning of Job is very clear. He is teaching us that life is short. Our days are passing swiftly by. Not like the slow caravan, but like the most fleet messenger. It's like a gallop. And I think the longer you live, the more you realize that this is so. That life is galloping by so quickly. And then you look at verse 26 of chapter 9, and it tells us that life is like the swift ships. They are passed away as the swift ships. Your marginal reading may say ships of desire or ships of eBay. Perhaps more correctly, inflated ships. Those ships that are filled with the wind. The sails are filled with the wind and the tide is favorable and the vessel is lightly freighted and so it is able to go so quickly. Some think that these ships were the light, fast sailing ships of the Nile, which were made of reeds or papyrus. The thought is not only to a reference of swiftness, but also to the fact that they left no trace or track behind, and that is often life. Others believe that the reference is to the hostile ships or the ships of the enemies, and so the thought may suggest that our days go off like light vessels of the pirates, having stripped us of our property, we're carried away under the strongest press of the seal into eternity. Whatever the actual meaning, the application is the same. It's speaking of speed and swiftness with which our life passes. Here am I standing on the sea of the great river, and I watch the ship appear from one side and quickly disappear on the other side. Some of you have stood at the shore and you've watched the ships. I've done that down in Crawfordsburn when we go for the Sunday school outing. In the summertime, sometimes we go down to the shore and we're able to see the ship and it appears there on the horizon and it moves so quickly in this direction and it's gone before you know it. And God is saying, your life and my life is just like that, like a swift ship. Notice also it's like an eagle in the same verse. It is as the eagle that hasteth to the prey. You see, we have one description after another here for emphasis. It is to press upon our minds and our hearts and bring it home to our hearts that life is brief, passing quickly. Here is the eagle hastening to the prey. And few things can be more rapid than the motion of the eagle darting upon its victim. We're told that eagles can reach incredible speeds, up to 200 miles an hour when it swoops down for its prey. And God is teaching us that's what life is like, just as you see the eagle coming down so quickly. Your life passes so quickly. Turn over to chapter 14, Mark verse 2. Life is like a flower. Speaking of man, he said he cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. The image here has been employed by writers in all ages, but nowhere with more beauty and with more frequency than the Bible itself. I'll give you the references. Isaiah 40 and verse 6, the Psalm 37 and verse 2, Psalm 90 and verse 6, and the Psalm 103 and verse 15. Next to the Bible, it is probably Shakespeare that employed the image with the most exquisite beauty of any poet. Life is just like a flower. The little infant is born, brought forth into this world as a tender, beautiful, breathing flower, but is cut down, says the patriarch. The flower fades, its beauty withers and is gone. We know this. As the flower is cut down by the mower, or cropped by the hand, or withered by the frost, so we shall be cut down one day. Maybe through some sickness. Some disease will overtake the body, and we will be cut down like a flower. Or maybe in some accident. Wasn't that many months ago, travelling down the A6, just there where that new petrol station is, Apple Green, but I saw in the distance the blue lights flashing, and as I approached the scene, I realised that some tragic accident had taken place. All the cars had slowed down, as they do in times of the accident, and I noticed there was a man lying on the verge. And I found out the next day that that man had died in that accident. One day, you're going to be cut down. And it may be as quickly as an accident in a car or some other kind of accident. Or maybe some wasting weakness and decay will set into your body and that will bring you to your end. Fairest flowers soon decay. Youth and beauty pass away. Though you have not long to stay, be in time. While God's Spirit bids you come, sinner, do not longer roam, lest you see your hopeless doom. Be in time. And then you'll notice in that second verse, and this is the final one that I want to call your attention to this evening. Life is like a shadow. It's not only like a flower that is cut down, but he says, a man cometh forth like a flower that is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow. And continueth not. And so the picture throughout the book of Job is building up, line upon line, description after description, illustration after illustration, all pointing to the brevity of life. You and I are just like shadows that appear for a little time, where we are soon lost in the shadows of the night. We are like the shadows of the evening, which are lost when the night comes. Or the shadow on a dial plate, which is continually moving. Or as the Jewish rabbis say, as the shadow of a bird flying, which stays not. Oh, my friends, learn this tonight. A shadow is an empty thing, without substance. It's dark, it's obscure, it's variable and uncertain. It is declining, it's fleeting, and passing away, and so fitly resembles the life of man that is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. It's nothing, full of darkness, full of ignorance, full of adversity. It's very fickle, changeable, inconstant, and at most it is of a short continuance. Be instructed tonight. Do not turn your ear away from God's speaking voice. God is bringing us into the classroom. He's certainly brought us into this school and into this hall this evening for the gospel mission, but he's bringing us into the classroom. And as the great teacher, the great instructor, he wants us to know that our life on this earth is very brief. It's just for a little time. And we are to be admonished, we are to be instructed by it. It is like a weaver's shuttle, like the wind, the post, the swift ship, an eagle, a flower, a shadow. And God wants us to learn this. There must be some application to make in the light of what the Lord is saying repeatedly in this book. And there's other illustrations or pictures we could turn to, but we'll not do that tonight. It's sufficient in these seven descriptions to remind us that our sojourn is just for a little time in this earth. What am I to learn? What does God say? What is he teaching me tonight? Well, he's teaching me, number one, we're not here forever. There are some people, and they're living in this earth as if they're going to live forever. And they're making their plans for tomorrow and for the future days as if this life is all that they will have and that they will live on this earth forevermore. God wants us to know we're not here forever. He also wants us to know that life is short.
and uncertain. We know not what will be on the morrow. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, the scripture warns, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. If you were here last Lord's Day at the meeting, we were telling you about the young woman of 23 just the previous weekend who was getting packed up and ready to move over to England. She took on well. She felt this dizziness in her head, brought to the doctor, brought to accident and emergency, and they discovered that she had a brain tumour. Well, she didn't know that. Up until then, she lived a healthy life. They operated. Two emergency surgeries were done to try and save her life, but within 3 days, she was gone. Because life is brief. God wants us to know it's short and uncertain. The Lord also wants to teach us that the world to come is more important than the world that now is. You understand that tonight? This world in which we live is just for a little time. That's been the emphasis throughout. How brief our time is. Moses in the 90th Psalm talked about 80 years and 10, and if by reason of strength maybe 80 years. Now we're talking about 70, 80 years in this life. Some, like the young woman that I mentioned, they do not see those days. Others, they live to a ripe old age. They get into their 90s and even into their 100s. We've known people that have lived very long, but it's very short. It really is. And I know young people, well, they look at the older ones and they say, well, they're a right age and it's going to be a long time before I reach 60 or 70 or 80 or whatever the case might be. And they think life is long, but life is short. And this world is but for those few short years. But the world to come is forever. In a couple of nights we're going to speak about eternity, the reality of eternity. And how the view and I will exist forever and ever and ever. And I were touched on it tonight as well as he brought to your attention the foreverness that is out there. And when 10,000 years is past, it's just beginning. So God wants you to know that you've just got this little time on the earth, but eternity is forever. And I believe that God wants you to know also tonight, in light of these descriptions and the brevity of life, that we must prepare for eternity. You have only one short life in which to make that preparation. There'll be no preparation when you die. There'll be no preparation in eternity. If we are to be ready to meet God and right for eternity, now's the time to make that preparation here in this world, in this life. And the way to prepare, as the scripture teaches us, is Christ. That's why he came. He's the only way of salvation. He's the only way of mercy and forgiveness. He's the only one through whom we can have our sins put away. That's what he came to do. Jesus Christ came into this world in the great eternal purpose of God to be a sacrifice for our sin. And when his life was lived and his ministry was over, he went to the cross. And there upon the cross of Calvary, he was nailed to that tree as a sacrifice. And the scripture tells us how he bore our sin in his body on that tree. He came to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And the Bible makes it clear he's the only way. And you need to take that way. You need to trust in Christ and his work that he came to do if you are to be ready for eternity. All the brevity of life. And God is teaching we're not here forever. Life is short and uncertain. The world to come is more important than the world that now is. And therefore we need to prepare for that world that is to be. You need Christ tonight. We're here, we said on Sunday, we're here to prepare you for eternity. To preach the gospel, to tell you that there is a way to God through Christ. And you can be saved. Saved from your sin
saved from the punishment of sin, which is hell, if you come to Jesus Christ and trust Him as your personal Savior. I leave the word with you. Life is very brief, and therefore, in this brief life, you need to prepare to meet God. Let us pray. Brother Greenfield will know, as most ministers do, that you can die at any time. And we have seen infants snatched away from this world, just beginning their days. We have seen children, I've stood at the caskets of young children that have been called away into eternity. Teenagers too. And your friends growing up met with accidents. And in their teenage years they went to an early grave. A young man, middle-aged man, old people. You have not long to stay, the hymn writer said tonight. Be in time. That's the message tonight. Life is brief, but you need to be in time. We're here to help, to encourage, to tell you of Christ, who is mighty to save. And if we can help you after this meeting is over, that's what we're here to do. And so we implore you, don't go away without the Savior. Come to Him. Stay where you are, speak to us at the door, whatever it might be. Say to a friend or a family member that has brought you that you'd like to talk to the preacher. I'm here, Brother Greenfield is here. Many others just willing to help. Settle the matter. Come to Christ. Lord, we just commit the preaching into your hands. We believe you've been speaking through the book of Job. Lord, you talk to us tonight about something that is vitally important to know, that our life on earth is just for a little time, a vapor that appears and disappears so quickly. You've counseled us in your word to prepare to meet God. And Lord, we know that the only preparation is Christ. We thank you for the dear Savior who came. Open up the door of redemption and salvation. We find that there's forgiveness and mercy with God and can be obtained through Christ alone. May there be that drawing power of the Spirit. May there be the breaking down of the stubborn will. May there be a coming to Christ in this mission. For Jesus' sake. Amen. What a sing. A couple of verses as we close the meeting this evening. Of the hymn 232. O sinner, the Saviour is calling for thee. Long, long has he called thee in vain. He called thee with joy with his crown of thy day, as he called thee in sorrow and pain. The Lord has been speaking to you. He's been speaking long. This is not the first time that God has spoken. He called the days of joy when everything was going well. And then other days came, like the hymn writer speaks of here, sorrow and pain. And even in the midst of those things, he was still speaking, he was calling. And yet your ears, as the next verse says, have been deaf to his voice. You haven't heard. But praise God, the Spirit is striving. But what if he should strive for more? How important it is to settle the matter of your salvation even tonight. Verses 1 and 3 only of this hymn 232.
Yeah.
biblical scenes based on the words of Genesis 6 and 3. My spirit shall not always strive with man. What a mercy it is that God strives with men in the first place. That he speaks to us, that he gives us an opportunity. If he hadn't left us in our sin to be damned forever, we would have said that is just. But we sinned against God, and we deserved the punishment awaiting us. He sent not only Christ into the world to save men from their sin, he sent the Holy Spirit to convict us of our sin and to draw us to Christ. You felt that in your heart, the tugging of God, the speaking voice of the Spirit. Don't turn away from it. What if he should strive nevermore? Missions come and missions go, but they are visitations of God. Jesus is passing this way. Lord, may souls avail themselves of the opportunity to come to Christ. May they not miss God's salvation. May they not turn away from the speaking voice of the Spirit. But Lord, in humility, may they cast themselves at the feet of the Savior and say in the words of the hymn writer, O Lamb of God, I come. For it is to the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, that they can come, for he is the only Savior. Dismiss us in your fear and in your love. And continue to speak while the voice of man is silent. Lord, may this night yield fruit unto God. May souls be converted to Christ for Jesus' sake. Amen.